Well, good morning, Webb family. Should I say good morning, Texas? Program number such and such, but no, not yet. Maybe I could get me mentally to think I'm doing a program instead of this sermon or whatever you want to call it to everybody out there. I'm making this video, could be the last one for a while, as I am going through the same thing I went through every time I did a video, and I knew it was going to take at least an hour. Half hour, 45 minutes to an hour, or whatever. And I'm getting the yawns already and all the trying to put this thing all together, because once I start, I can't stop. And on the radio program, I can stop and start, and record it and all that. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Just wanted to let you know that I'm doing okay for those that care and were concerned about me. For those that don't care and don't concern about me, then you don't need to watch this. Don't need to worry about it. You know, the stuff is still there. But I am. I'm doing good. I've got some physical therapy coming up now that they say that my neck is actually healed correctly. The fusion has fused. And I went to a massage thing, and they just took care of my muscles on my neck. And, man, that was just painful. So my muscles have been like, there's a word for that. They kind of shrunk and haven't done anything since my first back surgery. So anyway, whatever. I'm doing much better. I can turn my neck further left and right than I have been able to for years. I still can't go up and down very much, but I have a feeling the physical therapist will take care of that. The doc did say that I've got arthritis in the upper part of my neck. When I get up in the morning, my neck is like frozen in place, and so you just have to kind of move it when it'll click, fall into place, and then I'm fine. So, isn't that exciting? It's just such exciting to hear that stuff. I'm starting to do exercises and walking more, and now I can feel that when I bend over, my back doesn't have to tweak. Doesn't hurt my neck. I can feel a difference. So, I'm doing better. Just want you to know. I also want you to know that this is not a 30-minute program here you're listening to. This is going to be a while because there's some things I want to say. And not so much a teaching sermon thing. I just want to talk to you a little bit about what's been going on, what is going on, and some of the thoughts and concerns and needs that we have at this point. So settle down, settle back. This is going to be a while. And if it doesn't work, if I still didn't hit the right button for mics or whatever, I'm trying to record it in my little old-fashioned MP3 recorder that we used to do back back in Tushy in the Sunday school classes. So if worse comes to worse, I'll have an audio. And I'll get the audio off of the DVD and then the whole spiel. But this is like a final fling, possibly, for visuality anyway. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now on the radio program, I could stop that. I could delete that and go back and pick it up again. No, let's go to Romans chapter 11, 22. Romans 11:22, and I'm not keeping track of time. This is just going to be one of those, going to be a while. Romans 11:22, you know the verse. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Now, we all realize we're getting close. We're getting close to this thing taking off because the goodness of God is only preached by Paul. You've heard me say that 1,000 times, and I keep saying it in the radio program as well. And as things are looking better in religion to the world out there, they're looking worse and worse and worse for the truth, but we know what's taking place. So we know it's close. It just has to be close. And I don't want to count on it being close because I've been counting on it being close for a long time. However, this is the first time I've been able to really count on it being close, knowing the scriptures and knowing how people are reacting to the goodness of God and Paul and the King James Bible and all that stuff. Knowing where music's gone and the church music, and I think it's close. But we got to keep going. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. So I know that while it's getting close like that, there's going to be fewer and fewer people wanting to hear this stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I could give you a list of names of people who have given up. I won't. I mean, I can name them off. And it just seems to me that if I can maintain the strength of this thing, if I can keep this thing going, to where I'm all by myself, if that needs to be the case. I'm not the Lone Ranger. I'm not saying that. I mean just within my own little circle here or whatever. It could be that we end up like Alexander the Coppersmith. And you know that story. See, talking to you guys is different than talking to the radio because I know you folks know this stuff. Alexander the Coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Now, we know that Alexander the Coppersmith was lost because his reward is going to be based on his works, meaning his soul and his sin, that he's dead in sins. So we know that. So I'm not talking about anybody in the family as such. But we know what's going on out in this world. We know the religious scene, especially as they prep for the Antichrist, and they're as confident as can be based on their feelings and their flesh, not on anything based on the knowledge of the risen Savior or a King James Bible. And it says, "Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." You know, I wonder if that's going to happen. I am concerned about that. That's me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. Good for Paul. He's a much better Christian than I am. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord, etc., etc." "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." How does the Lord stand with me? We know. Got to stay in that book. Got to stay reading. Got to understand the situation. Got to understand the times. And we got to keep things going. We know the website's not going to last forever. We know the radio program probably won't last forever. I wish it would. I'm having a ball doing that thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. Or an hour, whatever. Let's go to Acts chapter 27. How many of you are going to be willing to stand by me as this thing gets even harder and harder? We'll talk about that. Let's go to Acts 27. Acts 27, again, is one of my favorite chapters. It talks about Paul and the shipwreck story there. We know at the end of the shipwreck here, let's look to verse 41. "And falling into a place where two seas met," things got rough, "they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves." There's even something to that, to how that thing stayed in one place, and the rest of it was wiggly, and it breaks up. I mean, part of this website, part of this ministry can stand fast, and the other half can be wobbly and break up. All sorts of little ways you could spiritualize this stuff, but let's not do that. "And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners," of which Paul was part of, "lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." Okay, all of us in our Webb family, we're going to get there eventually. How many have learned to swim with this stuff, and you can really take a hold of that book, not just teach others, but you just apply it to yourself? How many of you are willing to be swimming? And that takes a lot of work. I never learned how to swim, by the way. I was always afraid of the water. Grew up in a town where we had to swim in a dirty, filthy, algae, fish, full lake. And so now I can get, if I had to get from the boat, I can get from one side of the pool to the other. And that's okay. It gets harder towards the end because I pretty much have splashed all the water out of the pool by the time I get there. But I can get there. Okay? So we know that there's folks that are willing to just hang onto the boards and float to the shore, and everybody will be hunky-dory while they're floating. They're talking. They probably got some stuff on their little boards, you know, that they're having fun. Probably got their little phones and their games, you know, and their little social drinking and you know, they're probably not very modest as they're floating around, all that kind of stuff. But the swimmers are out there, they're going someplace. And how many swimmers do we have left in our family? Now, I hear from different folks. I still do. In fact, I was going to sit down and write down the list of people, the list of the names of folks I'm hearing from, and just say hi. I mean, I'm glad to hear from you. I know I was told a year or so ago that people aren't going to write to me if I don't write back. Well, I just haven't had the time or the energy, but like I say, I feel so much better now. So let's see how this thing works. So how many out there are really with us? How many are out there that can swim and are swimming? or how many out there are just floating on the boards of the website and the preaching, and maybe they've even left that part of it. I don't know. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Let's go to chapter 23. Chapter 23, Acts chapter 23. We're looking at verse 12. Oh, this one. Yeah, this is a conspiracy against Paul. We know this still takes place today. You know that. We'll start with verse 12 here. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul's son." Anyway. "Now therefore, ye with the council, signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow." Sneaky little guy, isn't he? "As though you would inquire something more perfectly," there's that phrase again, "concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." Now, I've had people try to kill this ministry since we got this thing started back in the state of Washington. And when we left Washington, I tell you, the accusations were horrible. When we got to Ohio, the accusations came right up again. And coming into South Dakota, and I'm telling you, they've been wanting to kill Paul, his message, the goodness of God, of all things. There's been shipwreck upon shipwreck upon shipwreck in my life. However, we still swim. We've got to keep swimming. So, the whole point of that was, you know, we're close to the end of this thing, but not yet. We're not yet. Me personally, I figure I've got minimum 1 year, 3 years at the most, and then I have to retire. I'm hoping the health hangs in there, and I feel pretty good, like I said. But will we hang in there? Will the website still be there? Will these radio programs be going on in Dallas-Fort Worth area? Will they be going on in some other cities or whatever? You think that's possible? I don't know. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Now, during this time, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 here. Well, I can tell this is going to be a long one with what I want to talk about. Maybe I can cut it into two. I don't know. I guess you can just cut it into two when you get listening to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." One of the things I have learned doing this ministry, pastoring back in Washington, and I keep doing these things, even up to yesterday when I was doing program number 25 about John 17, I read some things that made even more sense now. It's been a long while since I talked about John 17. And I could see more and more where Jesus was talking to the Jews then and the disciples, and that's all prepping for the Great Commission. You know, I know some of you probably already knew that. You probably already assumed, you already kind of just poo-pooed that when I got to it, but it was exciting for me. So, but doing this is going to show me what's lacking in my faith. Philippians chapter 3. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 15. What it is, it's all about growing up. It's all about growing up. And now you're going to start hearing the dog snoring. And on the radio program, I could take her outside, but now I can't stop. So let's just keep going. Philippians 3:15. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," you know, complete, you know, don't with the bunny trail, "be thus minded, and if anything, ye be otherwise minded." Because he's talking about attaining up there, apprehended. "And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you." God continues to show me things in my own personal, private thoughts, life, mentality, energy, flesh even, and the day-to-day thing. Okay, I had to cut some of that video out, so we will get back on the track here. This is all about growing up. Colossians 4:12. Let's go to Colossians 4:12. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers," and I hope some of you are doing this as well for me, "that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." I hope you're praying that we stay in the will of God through this whole program. The whole will of God we have come to learn is following Paul's teachings. That's the will of God. So I'm hoping that we have never strayed from that. We haven't turned this into a scholarly presentation of my brain because I don't have anything to present. So, like these other guys on the radio station put forth. Let's just quickly move along. Colossians 1:8. But look at the verses that help us grow up. Colossians 1:8. Let's go to verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, there he is again, our dear fellow servant, who was for you a faithful minister of Christ. And there we see later, that I should have done those verses the other way around, that he's praying for us in that manner. So, Ephesians 4, this is the verse that really tells us that being a Christian under Paul's realm, or his Paul's ministry, is verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Not just some, but every one of those out there will come after us. By the sleight of men, we have to realize that, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So, the whole thing is about growing up. Galatians chapter 3, go the other direction here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, stand fast in the liberty, Galatians chapter 3, there we go, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Verse 1. Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So, how many of us get into this stuff, and then we find out about Paul's manner of life, and before we know it, we've turned Paul's manner of life and his ways into the law. And so after a while, we give up because we're tired of trying to do this, tired of trying to be this way, trying to do that. Ladies, you're so tweaked with feminism that when you find out what you're really supposed to be as a Christian woman, you try it for a while, but after a while, it turns into the law. Or you just kind of give up on it. You know, those are the different things that can happen to us all. Men, same thing. We've got our roles and we're so switched around. If we try to get back on track, we'll get arrested for who knows what anymore. So, trying to grow up here in this ministry with me, I hope you folks are as welling as well. Growing old is not easy, I've read. Growing up is what's difficult. That's true. But we learn from Paul's teachings that growing up, According to the ways of Paul and the risen Savior, that has its rewards. Growing old doesn't seem to have a whole lot of rewards in this country anyway. Less respect, nobody cares what you've learned over your years. It's just like push them off to the side and don't worry about it. I heard as I was looking at these things, we don't stop doing because we are old. They use the word playing. Everybody has to be playing. Has to be a fun thing. I don't buy that. I changed the word to doing. We don't stop doing because we are old. We grow old because we stop doing. Well, that's a nice philosophy, and it makes kind of good sense at times. But, you know, sometimes you got to stop doing what you're doing because you grow old. I mean, it gets to be, it's painful, it's hurtful, it's lonesome, da-da-da-da. Then it says, the elderly do not have regrets of what they did, but for what they did not do. That's true. As I keep looking at this ministry and this radio program and these things, I realize more and more, what have I not talked about? What have I not done yet with this thing? What have I not done in my life that another year or two or three I'm not going to be able to do as easily? Or four or five. What if I actually live to be 70 or 80? I can't imagine such a thing. With the money I'm not going to have, with the debt that I've developed, with the lack of friends and family, all that kind of stuff? Can I go to 70 and 80? The way this country's going, with all these kids being flocked up from the different countries down there, and our ridiculous foreign policy and our domestic policy, as horrible as it is, 70 or 80 years, I can't imagine. Anyway, I read where it says there's two secrets to staying young. Laugh and find humor in everything. Well, that's true. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We know that. Then it says have a dream. Have a dream. Well, Bible calls it a vision. When you lose your dream, you die. Well, when you lose your vision, you die. And we know the scripture to that thing. We have so many people today that are walking around who are dead. I'm not talking about the Christians who are dead and we live dead in Christ and we're alive by His Spirit. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just dead. They're just not into anything. And when you're dead, you don't see anything, you don't hear anything, you just go out there and you do. I think all this craze on zombies makes a whole lot of sense in America, especially so-called Christians. They are just zombies. They're zombies, they're slaves to the government, they're slaves to education, they're slaves to money, they're slaves to their own flesh, their own pleasures, they're a slave to religion, you got their church addiction, you got their pastor worship, you've got their the books they have to buy and read instead of the scriptures, you know, and you got the music that's become all the power in their life, it's become their own spirit to follow. The job, you become a slave to your job. Maybe I should say jobs, because nowadays, you do anything wrong, well, you're just fired. Nobody wants to give you a chance to, well, sorry, I made that mistake, now let's fix it and get on to it. No, they fire you. I'm working, well, because I need the money. Am I a slave to it? Well, maybe so. How about a second job? The wife's working, the kids work. All this is taking place. You're a slave to your family. People have given up on Paul. They've given up on the risen Savior because of the pressures from the family. So we're slaves to so many things these days. Okay, so with all that being said, hope it's being recorded here properly, this radio program adventure has given me one more challenge. It's a fantastic challenge. In the past years, I have been challenged with when I heard about the King James Only thing back when I was in Las Vegas. Then I took the challenge about teaching about Bible and music. Well, that went over like a neck surgery. Then I took on the challenge of being a music minister, Bible teacher, Christian school. Then I took on the ministry of being a pastor in a Baptist church, of which we started the website. And then because of all sorts of misunderstandings and changes of a person's philosophy, I was bashed internationally all over the world. I became very famous, but just in the wrong way or whatever. Then I took on the challenge of looking to Paul's ministry, looking to the goodness of God, looking to rightly dividing rightly, which then changed the website. So then that is developed. I forgot who it was. I wonder if you're still on this website, family here, the person that said to me, you don't need to follow Ruckman's footsteps of your ministry with your website. You can put your own stuff on there and we'll still be there. I forgot who that was. And if that's anybody out there that is still listening, still there, boy, let me know. Because you're the one that got me to just delete the whole shebang and start over with our own stuff. So we did that. Then I took on the challenge of leaving the local church and going out to try to start a church in Ohio. That was destroyed. Went to South Dakota. Just started working on a website only and teaching in not a very good school, public school. And then today, no more Pal Talk. We're just doing website only and a couple video audio sermons to people. I do believe that I failed to reach my vision or whatever through Pal Talk, because I wanted to have a church family. That's what a church is. We're still a family. And we're still there as brethren for each other. And I had a few folks write to me and say they're glad the Pal Talk thing is done. And one even wrote to me and said, I like these 30-minute programs because this is all you do for 30 minutes and you're done. None of this friendly talk stuff and this family talk and this personal stuff. And, well, you know, I personally miss standing in the pulpit talking to a family of people out there about not just the sermon, but the day-to-day stuff. Talking with people after the sermon, after the service, and just being involved in people's lives. I miss that. And so I was hoping the Pal Talk could do that. Even while we had it in the church in Washington, I was hoping that we could see each other, and that didn't work, you know. But there are a lot of people there with us live. And it was an exciting time, but I just wasn't the computer whiz to figure out how to do all that stuff. And Pal Talk turned into kind of a doofus by the end. I'm glad to be done with it too. But yeah, I think one of the things that I failed in this website, in this ministry here, is to put together a church family where we keep track of each other and we care for each other and we help each other. And I don't think that happened, although we try to help other people. Somebody would send me a big check once in a while. I would distribute most of that check to somebody else to help them along. And those people that I helped along, every one of them is gone. It's an amazing thing. But Now we have the challenge of this radio program. And I have to tell you, this is an intense thing for me. It takes me anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half, sometimes even 2 hours, if I record more than 30 minutes on this program thing, to get one program together. And I've got to have one every day. And I'm not complaining. And I'm not even whining or whatever. I'm just letting you know because we're family, right? Because this is an intense thing for me. Now, I have the time now. I've got the freedom right now for 3 more weeks to just delve into this thing. But I have to tell you, this has been mentally exhausting to me. Is it because of my age? Is it because I'm getting lazy, worried about stuff, fleshly concerns, personal concerns? I don't know. But let's look at Romans chapter 15, verse 1. This is a serious challenge for me. Romans 15, 1. Romans. Acts Romans. Here we go. 15, 1. Paul says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." So this program gives me an opportunity, I should say opportunity, or it forces me to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now, infirmities of the weak in Romans 14, it's those that are weak in their faith. And that could just be a Christian who just needs to learn this stuff. And they have their infirmities, they have their challenges. I'm aware of some of those things. And that wears heavy on me. Now, I'm also thinking of the folks out there that are blinded to this stuff, not just the Jews. I'm talking about the Christians, knowing what the music is doing to them, knowing what their pastors are lying to them, knowing what they do with their Bible if they even have one anymore, knowing the books that they read, knowing the doctrines that are tossed about. I'm going to do a program sometime on all the different books that are floating around, all the different Bibles. I didn't even know some of them existed. You know, it's like there's an American King James. Never knew about that one. Oh, I'm telling you, it's just, it is. It's exhausting mentally to bear the infirmities of the weak. And that's what you do when you suddenly realize you've got 6 million listeners. No, it's an area of 6 million people. Do 6 million people listen to this radio station? I highly doubt it. But even if it's 100, even if it's 50 or 10, maybe just one or two people are seeing this stuff. And then the person that's financing this thing, Brother Bob, as they would say, is it worth all that money for one person? Well, that's a decision we're all going to have to make here pretty soon. We'll talk about that later. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, you know that chapter and that verse too. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, one of the things that I see happening with people is that a lot of people have, as it says there, are not bearing with Paul anymore. They're bearing with him that has another gospel, even though it's not another gospel, another spirit, which they really don't receive other than it's the spirit of Antichrist, and et cetera, et cetera. They're bearing with that. Now, we know when they're bearing with that direction, they're bearing with it with the devil. And we know 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Oh, I don't want 1 Timothy. See, I do this all the time, so you'll see. Verse 20. There we go, verse 20. 2019. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. I mean, they just tossed it away. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, like I say, I could give you some more names, whom I have delivered unto Satan. I mean, they chose to go back to the god of this world. Or they're trusting in their riches and they give up after a while. Or they just become more lovers of pleasures than lovers of God. They may have been lovers of God more than lovers of pleasures for a while, but, you know, after a while the flesh just takes over if you're not careful. Now, one of the things that I read in John 16 yesterday for program 25, let's go to John 16. When I read that verse, I just understand it. John 16, verse 12, I hope that's the right verse, where he says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." You know, Jesus was going to leave. He was going to give them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Remember, this was all given to these guys to take for the Jews. And I just realized how this fits into 1 Corinthians 13 or 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I just got that overwhelming feeling I've been getting a lot when I'm doing these things. I've got a stash of things I want to talk about over here. I've got a stash of things over here I want to talk about. There's things I want to talk about to the church family. There's things I want to talk about in this 30-minute program. I'm like overwhelmed with not only the amount of things that we need to talk about, an opportunity to present this somewhere. We're recording a program so we can keep them for further use. Will there be a further use? Is it up to me? No, it's up to us, not up to me. And he cannot bear the... Jesus had more things to say, but you can't take it, you guys. And I look through all the things that I've learned over the years and the teachings that we can put out, and it's overwhelming. It's really true. You can hardly bear it even to this moment. I got done with program 25. I just had to get up and go work outside in the sun and just kind of get over that. This is fantastic stuff. Exceeding magnifical, I think it's called somewhere in the Psalms, whatever. And it is. We can hardly bear it. It's such goodness. You know? The riches of understanding. We can hardly grasp that stuff. When we start to see, we can hardly look at what we're seeing. It's just, doesn't somebody else want to see this? It's hard for me to understand and to learn these things. I'm not talking about the intelligent stuff that different preachers and teachers put out there. I'm talking about the knowledge of the risen Savior, the knowledge of God, and to present these things to people. You can hardly bear it. It's so powerful. So, you know, from the studying of these, as I'm even doing programs, I think of something else I can talk about this. Write that down. If I've got a couple of years worth of stuff, do I have a couple of years worth of stuff to make this thing work? Are people going to get it? I can't imagine somebody's not listening. Well, then again, yes, I can, because they don't want to hear this stuff. Romans 11:22. So from the studying and the prepping, being aware of what people truly need to hear amongst all this stuff, I'm certain not their Holy Spirit, but I got the program to put together. Then I start thinking, look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Galatians chapter 4, verse, got it in there three times. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Is that what I want? No, verse 11. Yeah, I could correct that on a radio program. Galatians 4, verse 11. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. And that's a fear that I'm starting to develop as I see people falling away and not being interested in this stuff. One person says to me, nobody believes like you do anymore. Grow up, they said. Quit talking about, you know. And I couldn't believe who was telling me that. It's just so disheartening. Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I sure hope when I see the Lord, and I finally get to that, either the rapture or through death or whatever, that what I have done wasn't done in vain. And sometimes I fear. It just seems like there's more and more that are just fading away. Could be same old website. I've tried to tweak it up a little bit more interesting, easier to find stuff. Same old sermon, same old stuff about Paul's way, same old teaching. I've heard enough from Paulson. Let's just get on to some of this other new stuff. And before you know it, you're caught up in a new Paul world. But you're happy because you're feeding your. I don't know. You know, it's a crazy thing here. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm trying to hurry because I know this is taking a long time. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I'm hoping that the beloved brethren, meaning you folks out there, you are steadfast, you are unmovable, and you're always abounding in the work of the Lord. And let's just hope that this website and this radio program doesn't become just a vain waste of money. Hope that doesn't happen. Now, and I have learned over the radio program, they say the word now a lot. Let's talk about making these programs a little bit. How are we doing on time? It's only 35 minutes. We're doing fine. I got to knock out some of those minutes. Putting together this program, I want this program to be centered on the goodness of God. I wanted to be always be talking about Paul. Wanted to always be talking about the risen Savior even more than Paul. King James Bible, of course. You know that people aren't going to whatever. But I just, it just seems to me, I'm trying to pique an interest in people to think again about this whole Bible interest thing. Remember, we are now living in a day where people, a lot of people, haven't grown up with a King James only. They've never even heard of King James only. They think suddenly with all these Bibles, we are now saying King James only. Excuse me, but the King James Bible has been around for 400 years. Then you folks came along later, made an issue about words, not us. So, but they don't understand that. So, I've got to try to somehow make them thirsty. This is what I'm thinking in my head. Got to somehow make them thirsty to consider these things. So I got to go through this picking a subject deal. I've got to somehow make them thirsty. So I pick the subject, and then I've got to keep this subject to 26 to 28 minutes. So I get done with it, and sometimes I have to stop and start up again and bring. I got to insert some things or whatever. I go back and I listen to the whole thing again. While I'm listening to it, I listen to it as a newbie. Somebody's never heard this before. I know the crowd. I've been there and done that. What would I have thought when I heard that? Who knows? I guess. I try to fix some things. I take out my lip smack. I take out my sniffs. I try to take out stomach rumblings, dog snorings, or things like, why did I say that? I think it was John wrote to me today and said that I said tribulation instead of millennium on program 25, I think it was, or 24, whatever. So I had to go back and take that out and put in the word millennium and make it sound like, that kind of a thing. Am I trying to manipulate the people through a good sermon presentation? No, but let's not make it a point to spoil it either. I try to make this presentation as good as I can, and that weighs on me. I'm not used to having to be that way with you folks, because I just did what I did, and there it was. We were family, we were friends, it was great. I know most of the people wanted to hear what I had to say until we got into the ways of Paul. But by then I got to be pretty tough preaching and put it in their face, and they would say, well, yes, go ahead and tell me, I don't care. Then they start going after the messenger, even though the guy said, don't worry about the messenger, just, what a thing. Turned into a battle zone. Then I've got to pick and add some music to give it up to 28 minutes plus a few seconds in there. Then I got to put that all together, and then I got to put that radio page link together. Got to send it out to everybody and keep track of the hymns we're putting into that thing. Upload all this stuff, and I'm not complaining. I'm just letting you know that this is a challenge. This is an exciting challenge for me. One of the things that concerns me is, so far in my life, since I've been a pastor, father, husband, et cetera, the things that I have chosen to sacrifice, or the things I have had to sacrifice in order to keep this website going, in order to keep myself teaching and preaching this material, I think that the difficulty or the sacrifices that were made really haven't come back to haunt me yet. I think they'll come in another year or so, or two or three. I think this is when the sacrifices are going to really start to affect and really start to hurt. So, do I need to start prepping for that thing right now? Well, I don't want it to take away from my emphasis and the time it needs to take to put together these materials. So, what I need to do, and I do hear from some of you folks, I need to hear from you. I need to hear that the website family is out there still. I need to hear that you're excited about this stuff. I hope that you are, like I say, I have heard, I write some of the things down, some of the things I've heard from you, which I'm excited to hear these things, is I understand that some of you, you're listening. You're listening to these 30-minute programs while you're traveling. I heard from one person today that they took five of the programs on their vacation with them to listen to it during their vacation. I know at least one person that listens to them said they did it one time on the way to work. I've heard various people from our family here that you like the 30-minute program. No distractions, no personal stuff. It's just there's the program. I know that some of you were actually downloading the programs and giving them to some other people. So that tells me you're still there. You're still with me. There are a few of you that are still hanging in there contributing financially, the dirty word called money. When we left Washington and got to Ohio, we had thousands of dollars coming in to keep this thing going, and they went by the wayside pretty quickly once I got out there. But some of you have hung in there, and you're still sending the few dollars that you're sending in, and I know some of you aren't sending a few dollars, but I mean just in general here. So you're still contributing to the website. You're still contributing to me. I still have to buy ink. I had to purchase a new recorder, wave kind of a thing. I can tell my computer is wearing down. It's just going to need something new here pretty soon. But then again, the new programs out there, well, I'll tell you what, if I have to get a new computer and have to upgrade to this Windows, whatever they're up to, 9 or 10 or whatever, that website is so geared to the old ways, the old Netscape program 4, and I'm not sure I can handle the new tech stuff. So who knows how long that'll last. People have shown interest in the music clips. Might even have some singing put on the radio program here in a couple days. I've had questions coming in from the Webb family about this sermon and that sermon, what's going on. So I know we still have an active family. I know I've got to do a sermon here pretty soon on reward robbers. I've talked about it. Somebody asked, what do you tell people? And they ask you, where do you go to church? Somebody wants to hear about Romans chapter 12. I had a chance to talk to Mid-Acts person the other day, typing about some stuff there. There's a guy down in Texas who's asking questions about the music. So there's action going on here. How about action from the radio people? Well, honestly, haven't heard much. I really haven't. I don't think they're not listening. We're talking 8:30 in the morning here, and it's mostly a music station. So there's people that just get up in the morning and turn on their station, and all of a sudden, dun 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 dun. Oh, there's that guy again, and they're probably too lazy to turn it off because it'll be over in 30 minutes. And there it is. I mean, there's an opportunity. Are they going to write? Well, I'm not sure that they know my address all that well yet. I'm not sure they go to the website. I don't know. There's a place to go to if they do, to welcome them to the website. So I don't know what's out there. I'm hoping to hear from them soon. I'm going to put together a question program here pretty soon and encourage people to write, ask me questions, and we'll talk about it. I've been finding questions coming through the internet out there, the religious world, the questions these famous guys ask, and then their answers, they're just horrible answers. We know that. It's just, where did you come up with this stuff? How do you come to that answer? So we'll deal with that sort of a thing as we go here. This radio station, it's just a music station. They got the standard national speakers about money, and the Bible Answer Man is on there, and this sort of a thing. I've heard the radio introduce, they've changed these things. It's kind of interesting. I notice on their one page, that the main page, that it says Christian and religious programming. Christian and religious programming. Well, there's a interesting thing for them to say. One of the for a while they were saying, turning to KBXD 1480 AM, we are your answer to prayer. Which I thought, well, here it is. The goodness of God is the answer to your prayer about the truth, about what's going on in your churches, what's going on with music, if they're even asking that question. What's going on in this country? What's going on? Well, here's your answer to prayer. So that's true, you know. Then they said one morning, I was kind of surprised to hear this, the inspired and the words of inspiration and love and understanding are spoken here. Ooh, I thought that was interesting. I don't think they know what they're saying, but, you know, that's what they said. One time they said, when I heard it in their program, when you are under the wings of God, Satan can't bother you. So we'll have to talk about that someday. So, you know, it's an opportunity. Is this an opportunity to work out the bugs to put together a program? Or is it a program that's going to reach people and we're going to find... the website for them is kbxd1480.com. I encourage you to go to that website. Why would you encourage me to go to that website, you ask? Well, it's like this. Jerry, that's his name, the guy that runs the place, he needs to hear from you. I need to know that we keep this thing going. We're in this program together here. It isn't just one guy down in Texas financing this thing. We have to have an interest as the Webb family. Here's a chance not only to put this material out to a potential large audience, it gives you a chance to take a 30-minute program and to study it yourself, listen to it yourself, gives you a chance to take it to somebody else. And my challenge here is this. To write to Jerry, jerry@kbxd.com. And don't preach to him. Don't tell him how much this world needs this kind of material. Don't preach at him. Just tell him how much you appreciate the program. Tell him the things that you've said to me. I've had people say, I enjoy the fact that he's just there talking to us. He's not some highfalutin scholar that's above everybody. You know, it's just like, boy, it's just like him sitting at the table talking to me. Tell him stuff like that. Tell him how much you've appreciated what you've learned or what you've heard. Tell him you appreciate the hymns, you like the music, haven't heard them for years or whatever. Put together something. Don't sound fake and don't come up with this, you know, and don't preach at him. Just tell him you appreciate the program. Jerry@kbxd.com. Now, one of the things I don't want to have happen here, which is the same thing that happened in Pal Talk in some people's cases, they had to go looking for me in this dirty hotel, and they'd find the Christian religious room, a floor, they'd find the floor of all the different radio stations, and some of them got strayed off into some other different mid-acts or some other different earnestly contend for the faith, I mean, all the different little rooms, and we lost them to these other people. I don't understand that other than that's just, I'm not the speaker that these other people are, I guess. But I don't want you to go to this KBXD 1480 AM radio station and get caught up into their music. It's not the place to listen. I know you know that, but still, don't want that to happen. So let's finish up with this thing here. This is a chance for me to tell you about where I'm at physically and the program is how it's coming about, and it's tiring. I'm excited about it. Keep this in mind. Now, here we go. I told you, and I don't talk about this very often here. I really don't. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm just going to be bold and just tell you this stuff here. This is the needs that we have at this point. One is I do need to hear from you all the time, and I do my best to write back. It's taking place. I think I'm getting caught up in some of your emails. At least they're not going back to 2013. I don't think they are. And it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. I'm going to talk about this to a program here pretty soon about how people go to Hebrews for their pastor's stuff. No, we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. How do you have peace among yourselves when it comes to this website or these programs, these radio programs, or me as who I am or have been over these years? It's because, and I'm not looking for a personal esteeming them very highly in love. What I'm looking for is as much support as we can get from folks. Mental support, encouragement support, financial support. Uh-oh. Now, you never talk about this very much. I know, but in the last year or so, I've popped in some comments about it. Yes, I am stressed out to the max over finances. I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about keeping the website going. I'm talking about different programs I have to get, or microphones, or a keyboard, or whatever. I'm talking about the radio program now as well. It makes me nervous to have this program, this radio program, count on one man down in Texas. And I'm so thankful he heard that request of mine, and he's financing these programs. It turned out to be about $40 a program, $800 a month. Now, that's a lot of money. Also, there's been a couple hundred dollars coming in to me personally, which keeps me going, because if it wasn't for some of that money that you folks send in, I'm not sure I could keep the website going because I'm not sure how we would be doing without that extra money to help us get the things that I've had to do. That's just being honest with you. When I'm a 40, 50, see, I started teaching in 1972, and I should be up on the top of the pay scale, top of the education. I should be making some big bucks, like those rich teachers you hear about all the time. Well, when I came back into the business, I had to start back on step 8. So I'm back now like the pay of a beginning teacher. So, yeah, I don't have the money, and some of you folks are helping. But I also, please get me, don't get me wrong about this thing. This is what Paul says. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. What's been taking place? What's been going on here? Let's go to Philemon 20. Philemon 20. Yea, brother, let me have the joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. And how did Paul was asking here for some help. He says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. In other words, Philemon here, he took upon himself to take care of Paul. He prayed about it, so he had a chance to do so. Now, taking care of, I so hate talking about this. Taking care of me includes the radio program now. So now we're talking about a need, a financial need, as well as encouragement, etc., etc. It's just there. What can I say? And, like I say, the sacrifices I have made are going to come back, and I'm going to get burnt in about 1 to 2 to 3 years financially. And what's that going to do when you're trying to retire, when you're trying to get out of the way here? Can we keep this thing going? When I retire, unless I can figure out something to do with all those sacrifices that have been made that will come to fruition in a couple of years, this whole thing is going to just flat die. I don't know what else to say. So I've got 1 to 3 years to make this thing work, and if you all can help, I'm just asking you, please do. Also, if you want to help with the program itself, I will give you Bob's address, and you can send the money to him. If that's what you want to do, don't send it to me. I'll send it on to him. But I'm telling you, I still need those that are trying to help me personally to keep all this stuff going and to keep me going. I got a rather large check about a week ago, and it paid for all my medical expenses. Plus, I can get a few physical therapy sessions out of it. That was fantastic. And it was his request that be what be done with it. Now we've got to start thinking this radio program, $800 a month. And I want to ask you this. Can you check into your town, into your city, radio stations, and see if anybody would be willing to start a Cup of Goodness Pro, a 30-minute Bible study? With music, of course. Emphasize the music thing. That always takes the sting of the Bible study threat out of it. And see if there's on some other stations we can start putting this material onto. I've got them recorded. I've got them set aside. We can get different stations going here. And if that's the case, it's going to take more money than even just $800 a month. So, like I said, I hate talking about this, but maybe it's time that the website family, if you're there, and I know you are, let's finish this up here. If it's time to get some financial action going here, and let's do a final, maybe this is our final splurge before Romans 11:22 kicks into gear when they just don't want to hear it anymore. Let's put it out while we can. Let's put it out in a manner that might be working right now, and that's 30-minute segments. Even you folks have said to me, you don't want the hour and a half sermons anymore. You don't want stuff like I'm making right here. You want the 30-minute program, which is really only 25 minutes. Simple, to the point, and you're done. And that's probably going to change the whole venue. I think you say that. Is that how you say that? About the website and the ministry in these days. I've got school starting in a little less than a month, and I'm hoping that that doesn't interfere with the radio program preps. I hope this thing can keep going for another year or two or three, And I'm hoping that the Webb family out there helps more than just one person, because see, if one person gets tweaked, if old Brother Bob down there in Texas gets tweaked and doesn't like what he heard or hears, or his wife doesn't like what she hears, or he runs out of money, or he just kicks the bucket, or whatever, the boom, it's over with. We had single givers in the state of Washington. We had some people that gave some rather big checks, and when those people flaked out and quit, let me say this, the website people were taking better care of the local church there than the local church people were. So when one or two of the big givers quits, the whole thing can just die. So I think it's time we all jumped in and helped along those lines. I'll give you Bob's address if you want to contribute towards the radio programs. Let me know if you can find a station in your neck of the woods that'd be willing to put these programs on there. And if you want to keep helping me personally, please do. And let's see what we can happen here. Let's see what we can have happen here in the next couple months or the next year or two. And let's put a splurge out there and see if we can't get something to happen. If you're still with me, if you still trust the material we are doing is a pastor teaching and preaching the ways of Paul, rightly divided King James Bible. I'm not involved with any denomination, any special crew or anything like that. We are who we are. And if you can help me, if you can help Brother Bob, if you can help this ministry in encouragement, in emails, and financially, have at it. So there you have it. There's the end of this thing. I got a list of things here that I want to teach and preach about on the radio program. I've got some things for you folks I want to try to do. And I want to try to make things better on my own household. Things are looking up. I'll tell you, it feels good to feel good. Now, how long can I feel good? Part of it's up to you, if I can say so. So there you have it. There's the end of probably a first and last video for a while. I don't know if I can. These are stressful too, because I can't really stop and start in the middle of these things like a radio program. And this thing went 55 minutes, which is two programs, and I can't just stop and start. So it's different, totally different. So goodbye, folks. It's nice to have. What should I say? It's nice to have you see me. It's nice to see, but I'm not seeing you. But anyway, here I am. I'm still alive, doing better. Let's get rolling on this thing, and let's do this as a website family, and we'll see where it goes. So adios, have a good rest of the summer, and stay with me on the programs.